Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians and chapter 3. I get wired up here and ready to go. Hitch up my pants, adjust them. Philippians and chapter 3. Now, this isn't doctrinal. God doesn't speak through dreams. There's no continued revelation going on today. But I did have a dream this last week. And I dreamt I died and went to heaven and a great angel met me there in heaven, and he was showing me all the wonders and the glories of heaven. And there was a great building off to the left. And I said, "Man, what's that? What's that building?" He said, "That's a hall of life." I said, "Wow, can we go look at that?" And he took me in there, and we looked around. And I'm telling you, there were millions, even billions, of clocks hanging everywhere, and there was a name underneath every clock. And I said, "What's all this?" He said, "The angel said there's a clock here for everybody that's alive on earth right now." And every time they sin, the minute hand ticks one tick. That's how we keep track of things. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I don't see Mike Babcock's clock here anywhere. Where's his clock at? And the angel said, "Oh, we keep that down in the office. We use that as a fan." Now, that's an old joke. And the truth is, as you get to be an older guy, you can use those old jokes and nobody's heard them before. That's it. Philippians in chapter 3. I trust that God is going to bless. And I just need to kind of get one on you here this morning, Mike. It's been kind of a rough couple of weeks. Appreciate you. Love you, man. Sinner saved by grace, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. And I always try to pick on guys that are smaller than me a little bit, too. Some of you are pretty safe, all right? Philippians and chapter 3. Wasn't old school gathering a wonderful day? Man, God blessed us. He answered prayers, what he did. And God bless the people of Fundamental Baptist Church, the people that work so hard behind the scenes, all the men and all the women and everything that was done. God bless you. I believe we struck a blow for God in the state of Michigan. And it was wonderfully attended. And if you weren't here, watch it online. Facebook was down, but you could go to the church website and you could watch it. And there are actually hundreds of people have viewed it even since. And the truth is, I'm pretty sure about this. I know this to be true. As far as UP pastors, the farthest one west was Dave Holden up in Paradise. Not a single pastor came from that part of the UP. Now, I don't know where we would have put them had they showed up. And a lot of them, they texted me, said, "Man, can't make it today. Sorry, this has happened, that's happened." One guy texted me just before I was ready to start and said, "Oh, my car broke down. I'm south of Traverse City. Guess we're not going to make it." And I was thinking, man, maybe nobody's going to show up. But it was a wonderful crowd. And over half of the pastors present had never been here before. It was amazing. And God greatly blessed. And I just want you to know that God has blessed your faithfulness and the pie. Oh my goodness. I've probably got as many texts about the pies as I have anything else. In fact, I don't know if I got any texts about the preaching. It was the pies. Maybe that was the kind of guys we had here. I'm not sure. But God did certainly bless. Now, as a child of God, I want to talk about Paul's this morning. Paul puts life in perspective. I'm going to try to exegete the first dozen passage verses of this chapter in a way that's concise and clear and quick. I preached this passage many, many times, but you need to understand this. You need to have the right outlook on life, a Bible perspective on life. Not a worldview that is bound to this world. And the truth is, as a child of God, if you have the wrong outlook on life, then you will be bound by chains to guilt and pride. So I want to help you this morning. We all have a background. We all have a past. We all have baggage. And I want you to get the right perspective on life. Some of you people are newly born again. Some of you have just been, you know, just been added to the family of God of recent. And I want to help you kind of get it all together, get all your ducks in a row. You're never going to live a perfect life while you're here on this earth. And this will help you. And Paul, I believe, was the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. And he kind of lays it all out for us here in chapter 3. If you want to be wretched, look within. If you want to be fearful, look around. If you want to be powerful, look above. Stand with me. I want to read just a little bit, Philippians and chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs and evil workers, and beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Man, I want to give God my all. I want to worship God in the spirit. I wrote this down. To worship is a full life response to our God. We adore him and we worship him in truth, founded upon the word of God. And that is just so key. But let's pray right now. God, would you bless this morning? Help me to convey, somehow communicate. Lord, for a man to stand on the platform, for a man to stand in the pulpit this morning and address hundreds of people and try to impact their lives and try to help them, that is foolishness. We need you, God. Father, we need you by way of the Holy Spirit to take the holy word of God and give us meat and penetrate our hearts. Lord, may we be able to comprehend and grab onto the word of God in our lives this morning. God, we ask for your blessing. I pray if there's someone here or watching or listening that is not born again, they'd find Jesus as their Savior today. And Lord, for everybody that is born again, we get the right world outlook. Help us not to buy into the world. Lord, dear God, don't allow us to be entrapped by the culture in which we live. Lord Jesus, we pray for liberty and we pray for freedom in Christ. And God, we ask for the salvation of souls. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. It's a command. He mentions it again in verse 20 and 21. It's all about having the right and proper outlook on life as a child of God. You're doomed to fail without a biblical outlook on life. I'm telling you, you'll be tied to guilt all your life, or pride, one of the two. Guilt or pride. It's like, I got it all together, or I got nothing. I've been nothing but a hot mess all my life. And it's guilt or pride. But if you'll have the proper outlook, listen to what the Apostle Paul says, he'll help you. Number one, he says, rejoice. That's not even part of my sermon, but he just says, rejoice. It's kind of a joke around working at camp and working around here in the facilities and stuff, and especially between me and the assistant pastors, no negative vibes. I don't want to hear how it can't be done. I don't want to hear this is never going to work. No negative vibes. We don't want any of that. And I'm not talking. What I'm not talking about is the power of positive thinking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about seeing things from heaven's perspective and being surrendered to our Lord Jesus Christ so that we'll be flexible. And he'll do in our lives what needs to be done. He says in the first couple of verses, verse 2 and 3 and so forth, and the New Testament church was born out of Judaism. You know, the first century church basically was a Jewish church. So it was all over them. And some of them had a hard time letting go of that Old Testament Judaism. And Paul says this, you know, even there are even those of the circumcision that aren't honoring God. He says, but we are of the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. He says, we worship God in the spirit and rejoice and have no confidence in the flesh. And he takes just a few short verses and just allow me to read them. Don't let your mind stray. And just kind of give some of his human credentials, which he says later in this chapter amount to nothing. Nothing. No confidence in the flesh. You might think you got nice clothing. You might think you have a high IQ. You might think you've got quite a pedigree, a good background. You might think you've got a hyper education. You might think, no, Paul said, no confidence in the flesh. All those things are like dung. They're going to be left behind. Verse 4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, tongue in cheek, If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, I traded it all away. Man, it was a rags to riches story, a heartache for heaven kind of trade, going from a nobody to being a child of the king. Paul said, all of those earthly credentials, they're nothing. No confidence in the flesh. Everybody that's ever had a formal education and postgraduate degrees, you know, like I know, it don't mean a thing. Like Dr. Rader, you know what Dr. Rader means? There's a piece of paper hanging on the wall in there. It's just a matter of going through a program is all it is. So don't get highfalutin. Don't be those kind of people that kind of get all caught up. I'll say this. Learn to know you have not arrived. This is going to help you. Learn to know you have not arrived. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, this is a key verse, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He's talking about positional sanctification, positional righteousness. You want good theology? We are in Christ. That means we are as good as in heaven already. If there was a time and place where you were born again, you received the imputed righteousness of Christ, you're in. You are in the family of God. And that's what Paul is referring to here in verse 9, by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Again, understand this. Number one, I got a 4-point outline here, and they're all going to be real quick. Number one, I have not arrived. You have not arrived. Don't think you're bigger than life and bigger than God. Don't think you're smarter than God. As a matter of fact, people that I run into that are that way, they haven't read the Bible through even. They haven't read a book of the Bible. And they think they got everything all figured out. And for those of us that are children of God, that are born again, don't think you're bigger than God. This might shock you, but I'm not a perfect man. It's the truth. I'm not a perfect man. My life is an open book. I'm going to share something that my kids said, don't share that from the pulpit. I'm going to, because I just want you to know I'm like you are, and probably some of you have gone through this in one way or another. I'm asleep. I think it might have been last Tuesday. In my dreams, I dreamt I was fighting. I don't remember who I was fighting. It might have been one of you guys. I don't know. I dreamt I was fighting somebody, and all of a sudden, I heard my wife say, "Tim, you just hit me." And she woke me up when she said that. I opened my eyes and my fists are like this. I'm laying in my bed like this, in the dark, like this. But I can, through the glow of the clock, I can see my fists are like this. I thought, oh my goodness, what do I do now? Well, I did what any brave man would do. I pretended I was sleeping and went back like this. Hoping that she would not remember in the morning. She remembered. The Shahadis thought they were doing her a big favor, and they gave her this week, just in case it ever happened again, to put beside the bed. I want you to know that if you hear that I've died in my sleep and I have a crushed skull, you know what happened, all right? I just said that to say this. See, my house is just like your house. You know, my life is just like your life. We all have things we deal with all of the time. And I was perfectly innocent. That never happened before. I just want you to know that. Just the way it is. I have not attained, all right? Verse 12, let's go back there again. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, stretching forth unto those things which are before. And that literally is speaking of stretching. And this is big. You have got to not only know that you've not arrived, you have got to learn to leave the past behind. Yeah. It's gone. So you got a rugged past. You're a sinner saved by grace. So you've done some terrible things in your life. You got to forget those negative things that have happened in your life. That's what Paul is saying, or it will eat you alive. If someone, and by the way, those who don't forget are not good forgivers. They keep bringing up the past in other people's lives. Yeah, they just won't let it go. And probably they're struggling in their own life that very same way. Turn to Job chapter 42 and verse 10. Job, book of Job, just before the Psalms, verse 42, or chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. This is concerning his friends, by the way. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You know, you've got to forget the negative things in the past. And don't yearn for the good old days to the point. There's nothing wrong with remembering the blessings of God. We are told to do that. But there is a problem when you just live in the past. So don't yearn for the good old days because they probably weren't all that good in reality. Don't live in the past. That was yesterday. God is the God of today. You got up this morning, you breathed in new air. Man, you got a whole day, you got another day of life where you can live for the glory of God. God is the God of the day, of today. That's why he referred to himself. One of the reasons, tell him, I am that I am, hath sent you. He is the God of right now. As a child of God, live, don't live in the past. That's a mistake. I love the good old days. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to be able to rehearse all the things. And like I said in Sunday school this morning, I can't wait to hear the Apostle Paul's full story and all the adventure that he lived. But don't live in the past. Learn, this is number three, learn to live in the present. Look at verse 13. Number one, learn to know that you've not arrived. Number two, leave the past behind. Number three, learn to live in the present. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I pursue toward the mark, the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't live in the past, good or bad. And living in the past is not good for you, good or bad. You either are a dreamer and just kind of do nothing for God today, and all you do is think about the good old days, or you're a negative spirit and you can't get above it, and you're plagued with guilt as a result of living in the past and not leaving it behind. So I would tell you again, live in the present. That's where God is. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not here yet. Today. That's where we're at right now. Guy Barber, I mentioned him in Sunday school. He said this one time, I said this one time, and his response was classic. I said, no matter where you go in life, write this down. We were a little tiny church at that time, probably 40 people. And I remember sitting in a folding chair, and I said, no matter where you go in life, there you are. And he was hung up on that the whole service. And I remember the look on his face, this Tennessee man, his jaw open, just thinking, preacher just said something real deep. And I can't quite get my head around it. The fact is, today, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Don't be tied like a ball and chain to the past. Don't be just fantasizing about the future. Live right now for the glory of God. Tuesday afternoon, it was just after the noon hour, a mechanic came and he was working on one of our buses. We got him all set and all ready to go. And I led the man to the Lord. His name was Sav. They call him Sav. And I led him to the Lord 10 days ago. Maybe it was a week ago. And he came and he had to have somebody drive him out. So one of his employees came out with him. And I think Coral was his name, 6'7", big monstrous guy. And I'm walking across the yard, and they're back here behind the mission building with the two buses that are out back. And I see him, and I stop. Hey, Sav, how you doing? Yeah, man, you didn't make it to church yet. I know. I'm coming. I'm saying that's good. Good, you have that desire anyway. And I said to his buddy, I introduced myself to him, and I said I just gave him a gospel track. I was going to keep going. I was in a hurry. And God, the Holy Spirit, said, no, he's a big guy, but he's a big sinner that needs Christ. And so I started talking to him just a little bit. And Sav, it was really cool to watch this guy truly got born again, Seth, because as soon as I started talking, he put his hands like this. He's the boss. And he just kind of stepped back and watched. He just said, go get him, preacher. That's basically what he said. And I gave him the gospel. I said, Coral, you know, right there, a week ago, right there in the dewy grass, your boss knelt right there and received Jesus as his Savior. And all his sins were forgiven. Would you like to do that right now? He said, yes, sir, I would. We got down on our knees and he prayed a simple prayer and received Christ as his Savior. And he was about that high off the ground. And I came into the school and I said, man, soul winning is the easiest thing in the world. You know, why don't we do more of it? So there's a man that was going to hell, and I'm trusting he's going to get here to heaven between now and eternity, but he was going to hell, and now he's going to heaven. His name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was Tuesday afternoon. That is living in the present and not resting in the past. The world of 7 billion people in which we live, and we're not done yet. Fundamental Baptist Church is not done. It's a great crowd. We got a lot of people missing, but you wouldn't know it by looking at the crowd this morning. It's a great crowd. And I'm telling you, like I said in Sunday school, I want to be part. I would not trade today, living, being alive today with all of the wickedness and evil that's going on, trade to be in the day of the Exodus when the Red Sea was parted and all those great miracles were done. I think today is more exciting than that. And the truth is, those of you that were at the football game on Friday night, you know, to be there at the end is more exciting than to be there at the beginning. You know, when they won in overtime, that was pretty exciting. Oh, it was great when they introduced everybody and they had the opening kickoff. That's wonderful. But to be part of the end when you win in overtime, that's pretty exciting. I want to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ that's alive and serving God when the trumpet of God sounds. When we win out completely and God calls his church home. These are exciting days. And I believe that God has given to us a great platform. And we're not done. You're thinking, well, the auditorium's full. What are we going to do? We're not done. There are people all around us that need to be born again. I'm telling you, if the Lord tarries and I don't die first, we're going to build a church of an auditorium of 800 people, 800 seats. It's going to be over there where the school is. And this way I'm praying now, and this, everything that's underneath this roof right now, from the front of the church all the way back through the Heritage Center, that'll be Maplewood Baptist Academy. We're just going to keep on keeping on. You say, oh, it'll never happen. You know what? In 1981... they said we'd never have a church of hundreds of people too. And look what God has done. I have been relishing in this in a proper way, giving God thanks for all of his blessings all week long. Just get out and look at the beauty of nature and all that God has done and look around and the happy people and the Lord and how God is blessing. And I just thank God for his blessings upon this ministry. Before I go to the last point, I want you to know we got to live in the presence. And the fact is, we're not done. We live in the present. I saw a sign, you've probably seen it in the area as well. God is the God of today. And today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And it's a play on words, but it's true. Today is a gift from God. What are you going to do with it? Let's look at the last point. Number one, learn to know you've not arrived. You got to learn humility. Learn to leave the past behind. Either you'll be riddled with guilt and you'll be riddled with pride. Learn to live in the present. He's the God of today, right now. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. Right now, that's where we're living. And then look to the future. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The future is not a hopeless oblivion. A hot mess of this culture. It's a prize to be won. We're to have goals as far as the family of God. We're to embrace the future with grace and vision. And verse 17, follow on. Press on. Move on. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul was the picture of humility. He said, if you think you ought to have confidence in the flesh, I more, to the power of 10. Member of the Sanhedrin. How many know 5 languages? That was the Apostle Paul. How many know Bible? Like, God used Paul to write most of the New Testament. And he said, it's all nothing. It's all nothing. We be of the concision. We be of the Jews that worship God in spirit and in truth. Give me Jesus. That's what Paul said. And Paul said, I leave my past behind. And I cling to the present. And I'm looking to the future. If you have no future, why don't you just die right now? We'll have your funeral this week. Let's just get it over with. And let somebody get in your seat that wants to serve God and has a little bit of vision and knows that God is going to use them. And God will use you. Amen. He will. But you got to surrender to him. Amen. Press toward the mark. You haven't arrived and you're not done. You still got breath? God has a purpose for you. Amen. Let's serve and worship the God of today. What a privilege to serve him. I am. I guess maybe I'm getting a little bit nostalgic, and you know, being the old man that I now have become, I recognize that God has been good to me. Sometimes when you're in 30s and 40s and 50s, you don't pick up on that. God has been good to me. Man, I look around, I see what God has done, my family, and it's not like everything's perfect. It's not. And that's because of me. And because of them, because they're sinners as well. But God has been good to me. I would rather pastor Fundamental Baptist Church than any other church in America. God has been good to me. And I do believe we are people of vision, if we'll just stay humble. And we are not done. And I'm going to have an altar call right now. And it might be that God, there's somebody in your life that isn't born again, and you know it. And you've not gone after them. I say to those of you that have been born again for a long time and aren't winning souls to Jesus, get right with God. Get the mind and heart of Christ. Quit working for the things of this world. I say to you that have been recently born again, very recent, and you're here this morning, you're a great encouragement to this church and to this pastor. Man, stay faithful. Let us help you grow in grace. And don't let some wet blanket Christian that doesn't come to all the services influence you into not coming to all the services. I want you to know prayer meetings are pretty big church service here at Fundamental Baptist Church. It's huge. It's the biggest thing going on. And just fall in love with Christ. What an opportunity. God has given us a platform. All week long, I got texts and phone calls from preachers that were blessed last Monday. All week long. It doesn't end. And hundreds of people have watched it on our website, and Facebook was down, and so people weren't on that, and I understand that. And the number just keeps going up and keeps going up, and I got to confess, I watched it 3 times. It blessed my heart. Blessed my heart hearing all those preachers, hearing where they were from, and just the atmosphere. God is good to us, so he's given us this platform. Let's not mess it up. I'm preaching to the pastor now. Let's stay humble. Let's get low. And let's let God be God. Amen. Let's take the platform that he has given to us and not limit the Holy One of Israel. Just like the psalmist said. Say, oh, you'll never. 800 people in an auditorium? You got to be kidding. Hey, say, Pastor, how much will it cost? I don't know. I'm sure close to $1 million. You know what my response to that was as I was praying yesterday? Hey, wait a minute. It's only money. Why should that limit God? It's only money. God will supply. Let's just do what we're called of God to do. Be faithful, and he'll enlarge our tent. Maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know I'm born again. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I'd like to get that taken care of. If you're watching by way of live stream and you've never been saved, all the religion in the world isn't going to do you any good. You need Jesus as your personal Savior. Find a place right now where you can bow your head and your heart before God and from your heart cry out to him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I deserve hell. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for what you did on the cross. And Jesus, would you forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and save me today? Forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, no matter where you are, God heard you in heaven. And if you just let somebody know about it, boy, it'll help you grow in grace. And you're supposed to let somebody know about it. Find somebody near you or call the church or tell somebody here this morning, hey, I got born again today. I did it. I took care of it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.